Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Chris White. Joining me this week is Mr. Adam Carroll. How are you doing, buddy?
How are you doing, my friend? Good.
Good to hear. And also, we are joined by someone who decided to do something very mean earlier in No Man's Sky to me. but I've forgiven her. It's Miss Nicola Ardron. How are you doing?
No. It was conscious, Chris.
No, that's what you say.
It wasn't a conscious
what you say.
Thing. It was just momentary lapse of concentration. Just leave it there.
We'll talk about No Man's Sky in great detail, because obviously the new patch has been released. It's improved everything that's come before in a massive way and added a lot of a bit of everything. It's basically the game that many feel it should be, but we'll get onto all that. But Adam, you've been playing a bit of it, haven't you? And you've kind of gone from the Starks. You've never played it before.
Yeah. So it was on like sale there during the week with the update coming out. So I've never once like played this game. Like not even a minute. I honestly have never even seen one of my friends play it, and I don't think I've seen much like online gameplay. Only up until the point that it was actually revealed. So this is totally fresh to me. I knew the concept of it, but not too much about it. And I think the story of this entire game is unbelievably fascinating. I think like how this turnaround has come out and people seem to be really back into it again. Like, and people are, like, from what I gather, people are very happy with this new update. So when I booted up last night, I just didn't know what to expect. And when it started, because, okay, so first off, have you guys, like, you've obviously played this before the update, yeah?
Yeah.
So have you been able to continue your save file, or have you started a fresh game, or what's going on there? Because I've seen some people get annoyed, because is there some issue where you can't continue your save file over?
Well, I haven't been able to continue it, which was a bit frustrating because...
And why is that?
I don't know if the update just doesn't allow it.
It's a completely different game, in fairness. Yeah. I mean, I could load up an old save. However, a lot of the technology that I had installed in my multi-tool and what have you was obsolete. So I couldn't use it. And I still had to effectively go through the early stages. It's just that I've got an exosuit with more slots, and I had an upgraded multi-tool that had more slots, and the same with my ship. That was the only thing, really. But it was essentially just starting again. Because the way that you gather materials is different. The way that you fuel your ship is different. The way that you now have to combine or cook off materials to create a higher tier of material, that was not in the game before. So there's lots of new stuff. So essentially you could use that character save if you like, and you would have a head start, I guess, in terms of your inventory slots, because that's the real issue with the game, really, is just managing inventory. But you would essentially have to start all over again and, you know, go through the tutorial in the same way that you do when you start a brand new game. So I just started a new game. I thought it'd be just easier to do that.
Yeah, like, because I didn't really get that, like, the game feels more like a complete survival game. Am I right in saying that? Or, like, is that what it always...
Yeah, like, you're more surviving against the environment, yeah. But yeah,
because as soon as it starts, it's a very odd beginning to the game. It's a very odd opening, because you're just kind of like sitting there, and all of a sudden you're off you go, fix your ship and find these like materials and stuff. And I didn't really understand from the word go who was the enemy or who was the, because there was these like those things flying around like scanning you and stuff, and I kind of had a guess that they were like enemies of some sort, and then I just started shooting them, and then there was like a whole shitstorm happened, and I was like, oh my god, what's going on? And there actually is a lot to digest.
A hell of a lot.
Like, and I did not, that to me was something I did not expect, because the HUD display, like even like down to like the little like tutorials that they give you in the bottom right hand of the screen, all these things, I was like, fuck me, there's so much going on. And when I opened up the inventory system, I was like, oh my God, there's like, you click on this and it opens up another menu. And I did not know that it was this deep. So I died like a good two or three times at the beginning. I was like, oh fuck, because my radiation levels were falling. Yeah. And I was like, am I honestly managing everything here? And it seems to be the case so far for me, which is fine. But I'm just really worried because I'm really bad at this kind of game.
It sounds like you're unlucky there. If you're on a planet that's giving you radiation poison, and it sounds like you've been unlucky on a spawn planet. Because
is that a thing? So yeah. Like, does everyone just spawn on a complete? Yeah. Oh, right.
So like my spawn planet's fairly benign. You know, it's got, it occasionally has like toxic storms, but they're quite infrequent. And there isn't really any enemies in the game, per se. I mean, you can upset the sentinels, the flying around things that you were talking about that scan you. But they only become alerted to you when you're gathering resources. Now, different planets will have sentinels on them that are more, you know, like they're a lot more on the ball, if you like. So if you're gathering a lot of materials, I don't know, like maybe gathering carbon, and you're shooting at the flora, then the sentinels will come and find out what you're doing. And if they catch you doing it, then they'll become hostile. So they're kind of like planetary protectors, I guess.
Yeah, they're kind of like the equivalent of the police in GTA. If you upset more as you go, you'll get more of a kind of star rating, which essentially in the top right, you've got little circular things which indicate how much of a fuss you've caused, and then there'll be more after you. But yeah, they're basically, they're trying to minimise how much mining you're doing. Like Nick says, some are a bit sterner than others and that. But yeah, that's the only real enemy in it in terms of what you fight, other than like spaceships in the atmosphere, outside the atmosphere, like in space, you can get into like dogfights with other
like
ships,
pirates
and stuff,
can't you? Yeah, space. Yeah, pirates.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm wondering, like, one of the things I said to Adam Cook last week about No Man's Sky was, it's all great having this multiplayer, but if you're waiting to get in a dogfight with a real person, how often is a person that you don't know ever going to come across your galaxy? Because there's billions, isn't there? There's always billions of planets. So what are the chances of you actually ever meeting anyone in space? And that was kind of one of the most exciting things. But on the flip side of that, like as we were talking about earlier, I needed to test the multiplayer out for the re-review that I'm doing. So Nick joined my game, and it's kind of cool in a way, because when Nick joined my like galaxy, I was stood up by my base and I was looking up into the space, and I could see a little icon millions of miles away, and then as she kind of hit the hyperdrive and started flying towards me, the countdown of the distance got shorter, and then you see her coming into the atmosphere, and it's kind of cool. There's never a break in it, it's very smooth, and then she'll land and then get out, and we'll go and, you know, explore the planet together.
In theory,
second
I
time.
Land, Chris. In theory, I land.
Yeah.
In reality, I pulse drive too quickly and fly into your base that materializes in front of me as I crash into it, because it's quite substantial, your base. And it took a little bit of rendering.
Yeah. But that's kind of a concern about the kind of, when it kind of materializes, it should have shown you that way before you came into it. And there are a few.
I was coming in hot.
True. But I did find like a few tiny issues, which I'm sure will get sorted. But like the way you build a base in No Man's Sky is you go onto a planet, providing it's been like it's inhabited with quite a few things, and there's a few bases around. You find one that's already there, and then you go in, you put a base computer in there, and then from there, you can start to build on it. And the way you build, it's like if you've ever played Fallout 4, where you click the up on the D-pad and it brings up a menu, then you can go across to each menu point. There'll be like things like structures or doors and windows.
That's in creative, of course. Decoration. You need to clarify that that is in creative.
Yeah, yeah, true.
There's a few steps to get through to get to that point in normal.
Oh god, yeah. Like that's. I mean, I did what you did, Adam, when I came back to it and tried the survival mode, which is, you know, mm-hmm. where you, it's essentially like Minecraft, in many ways. But you can go through the whole creative and you've got everything already. And that's what I, after playing the other one for about 5 or 6 hours, I just thought, I'm never going to build everything. I want to see what it all does. And that's kind of why I went into creative and built everything. But there's things like when I was walking through doors on my own in my own base, it was open. And then Nicola landed, walked inside the main kind of bit of the facility, and then as I went to walk in, the door had become welded shut and I had to fire through it to get in. But I'd already done that when I first found the base, and Nicola didn't see it at all. And then as soon as I managed to shoot my way in, the alarm was going off inside, and normally you can turn it off, but it wasn't allowing me to do that. So it's just, I just wondered where that came from, because it shouldn't have been there. And it's like there's a few other little things that you notice which are a bit odd, but like in general, the multiplayer that I played, it was good fun, and it's essentially the charm of building something in Minecraft for me. But it just looks a million times better because you've got all these kind of
steady,
like,
now, Chris. Steady.
Well, in terms of like building a base, this big infrastructure on this planet with all space age kind of detail and design and aesthetics, it can look amazing.
Your
even
base
though it
does
takes
look
you,
really cool, actually. It does look
it
cool.
I just love building it, and then you can then go inside and put windows in or put furniture in, and then you've got all the different kind of, you've got a medical pod, and then all the computers, so you can basically build whatever you want. And then you fly to the space station and you can get an overseer that you can hire for your base. And then there's another little kind of mini mission structure where you have to go and collect things, like we were collecting copper for me to transform into chromatic metal, mm-hmm. which you have to make that with the smelters, essentially. But there's a lot to it in creative, not just in the main story. But for me, the game, as outside of the creative, so the standard modes, feels very, very similar to the other one. The stories exist, but it's very convoluted. There's no real cohesion to it. But it's now we've got the creative. I feel like I was judging it a bit for not having a story, because that isn't what the charm is. And no one moans about Minecraft for not having a story, but it's still an amazing game. So I think now there's so much there and there's so many options to just enjoy in that mode, it's a lot better.
I think,
but I do think they don't explain anything hardly enough like they should.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the story bit is the bit where it's, you know, where you're trying to get to the center of the galaxy, aren't you? That's the kind of driver that you know, like, kind of moves you forward through the tutorial steps a little bit. But one thing I've noticed is that I mean, I'm playing on normal, so I'm having to gather all this stuff. I haven't got everything available to me. But one thing I've noticed is that there's so much more stuff now to distract you from that goal of reaching the center of the galaxy. I guess if you want to use Minecraft as an example, you know, Minecraft's overarching goal, I mean, it's changed considerably now, but originally the overarching goal was to kill the Ender Dragon, wasn't it? To get to the end and kill the Ender Dragon.
Yeah.
Now, I had played hundreds of hours and never done that because I would just get distracted doing other stuff. And now I feel like there's enough in the game for me to, you know, put off going to the center of the galaxy, because you can go onto the space station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, this is what it really does feel like, the game that was promised when it was first talked about, because you can go onto the space station and then you can take on jobs. You know, once you've progressed a certain way forward, you can take on jobs and, like, do stuff for factions. And, like, for example, I joined a friend's game. and he's got a freighter. He helped a freighter that was in distress. You know, some space pirates were attacking it. So he went in and helped and killed the space pirates, and as a reward was given a freighter. So now he's got this huge freighter as a off-planet base that he can go into. And, like, there's these different things. So he's got this computer in the middle of his freighter, which you can go to and do missions. So he set one up, and one of them was to clear out some space pirates from the system that we were in. So we had to fly for a little bit and then go and clear these pirates out. And we got back and we got some credits or whatever for it, some nanites or whatever. So there's lots of different things now that kind of keep you busy and, you know, that you can kind of not waste time, but spend time doing. Like, for example, for me, I know Chris can build, I mean, he's built this huge base. Whereas at the moment, all I've got available to me is being able to turn the carbon that I gather into like wood panels. So all I can build are like sheds, space sheds. And I need to, you know, like move along the story a bit more, learn a bit more tech. And then presumably I can then start to build more complex structures using different materials. So in terms of that, like just keeping you going, I think there's definitely more draw. And I'm really, really enjoying playing it because that sense of discovery and that sense of exploration is definitely back. Like I found in Chris's world a really weird alien structure, which I took a picture of, Chris. A really weird structure that you could interact with and it would give you navigational points. But obviously I had to log out of your game. So I wasn't quite clear what, you know, whether that would lead me somewhere else in the system or perhaps outside of the system, but it was giving me navigational points. I found a crashed freighter in my world that has got a load of cargo that's buried underneath the ground that I'm currently digging out and trying to find the resources to be able to unlock. Other stuff that I've found has just been, I'm just enjoying exploring. And now because you actually have a focal point where you can set your base, actually wandering off and exploring and being able to find a point again on your planet is a big deal. Because before you just kind of flew around, didn't you? And you were like, well,
yeah.
Okay, I'll leave this planet now and I'll go and look at another one. But nothing, there was never really a point of reference for you, was there, to come back to it? And there was never really any point to go back to it. Yeah. Whereas now,
I think that's why
now you do. So it feels like you're actually setting a base. And you're actually, one of the things that I didn't like about the original, because I bought the game at release, one of the things I didn't like about it was I felt like there was no point me being there. You know, I wasn't impact. I was leaving no mark at all on this galaxy or, you know, these planets that I was visiting, other than being a rapacious, chuffing individual, you know, coming and like mining this planet for all of its resources and then, you know, fecking off. I felt like I was having no impact other than that. Whereas at least now, at least now, you know, you're leaving behind a base. You can go hop in to different galaxy systems and still come back to your base, which is really cool. Yeah. And, of course, you're building up a reputation with the various life forms around. So, you know, I'm learning language at the moment. I mean, this was all in the original game as well with the language, but it never really seemed to have much point because you weren't necessarily going to come back to a system where you'd learn all the words of that particular language because the next system might be Gek rather than Viking or whatever. So it all was a bit, I don't know, it didn't feel quite like everything was joined up. This new release does feel like a lot of the stuff that, you know, you've been asked to do is making more sense now. I still think there's things to work on. For example, in the normal mode, it's a proper grind. You know, that my I'm constantly having to recharge my terrain manipulator part of my bolt caster. I'm having to recharge my just normal mining laser. I'm having to recharge if I, you know, get into a firefight. I have to, you know, craft bullets to do that. And it's just a constant grind of gathering carbon and ferrite and what have you. Refueling your ship in the early days is a pain in the ass as well, because you can only do that by creating like a metal plating and gathering dihydrogen or something and then creating some fuel, and that fuel only gives you like 4 boosts before you have to do it again. So it just all feels like there's a little bit too much to grind out early doors, which I think could perhaps be tweaked so it's not quite as intensive. Because like you're trying to go exploring and you go in your ship and it's like, shit, I've got nothing in my thrusters, so I have to get back out and like start gathering the materials again. It just kind of slows things down a little bit too much. But other than that, it's great.
That's kind of what I've been suffering with now since I started, is obviously like I knew that there was all like these planets that were going into these different, like randomized planets, but I didn't know that we started on a random planet. I didn't know that at all. So for me, my first gameplay session has been insanely stressful because of the fact that like, I'm just trying to get used to everything. Okay, I need to collect this stuff from my ship. Cool. But I'm trying to get used to the HUD, the icons, like even those, like whatever enemy I might come across, you know, just the world in general. And I'm landed with this like radiation level is falling down. You need to fix. And I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean? What do I get to fix this? You know? And this, no matter what happens, when you start a game and those things happen, you instantly do panic because you're not aware of how long you have. You just see this bar and you're kind of looking at it and you're kind of running at the same time. But that to me, like, it's really like kind of annoying that I started off this way. I don't know, because I've only played like the hour or whatever, is it going to be worth my while to just actually start again and just go into a normal planet to get used to it and
maybe slowly fall in? Yeah, maybe, because like I've spawned in on a really hostile planet before that was just doing these firestorms on a really regular basis. But because I knew what I was doing, I just focused on getting my stuff ready. And as soon as I got my ship repaired, I fecked off that planet. There's no point staying on it because you're just constantly in a firestorm that is depleting your shield plating. And you know, to refuel your shield plating, you have to find sodium. And, you know, it's just hunting around for a resource that you could be doing something else. You know, I mean, you're trying to find sodium to keep shield plating up, but you're actually trying to do something else because you want to, like, get off the planet. So I just focused on getting off as soon as possible. But if you don't know the quick and easy steps to do that and you're still trying to learn, you know, like all this stuff it's throwing at you, it might be worth just going, well, let's see if the next time I you know, spawn, I actually get a friendlier planet. Because it kind of feels a little rough. If you've never played it before, it kind of feels a little bit harsh that you're put on this planet you know, is like super toxic, or it's got, you know, firestorms, or, you know, the temperature's like -100 or whatever, so you're constantly freezing. It just seems a bit harsh for that to be a starting planet. But
yeah, it's brutal. Like I have to run so far and like get back to my ship, and then there's been occasions where I realize that I've absolutely nothing to help or prevent this situation, so I end up running back as quick as I can to my ship, and I'm just sitting in my fucking ship just going, right, what will I do? I have like only like 10% of my like weapon, like ammo, whatever you want to call it, this time. And then like it's just like this kind of sense of panic is like already hitting in, when I know that the game is supposed to be like, you just take it in your own pace and you kind of like, you do what you kind of want to do. And I'm down for that. I am so up for that, because when I booted it up last night, like I was like, okay, this is going to be like a pure sci-fi-esque kind of game. I switched off all the lights and headphones in, because that soundtrack by 65 Days of Static, by the way, is hitting me
it's so good.
Isn't
I think
it? It's just perfect for this style of game. And like walking around, when you said rough, by the way, I want to ask about the visual aspect of this game, mm-hmm. okay? Because I know with this update, it got a new kind of, like, go-over or something.
Definitely got a different vibe to it than it had before.
Okay. Yeah. Because the planet that I've started on is so mm-hmm. ugly. Like, it's unfortunate because when it booted up, I was like, okay, that looks a bit rough. And then when when I was shooting the weapon and the green stuff, I was like, oh, that doesn't look great. And I don't know, like, is it just because of where I am? Probably is. But, like, how did this game... Like, what was this game before this update? Is, like, my main thing. Because when they announced it, that this is why I'm saying that, like, it's such an interesting story, this whole No Man's Sky thing. Because when it was announced, everyone was like, oh, this looks amazing. But I'm not the only one thinking this, but at the time, I wasn't sold because I didn't really know what the hell this game was. And I wasn't up, like, they were just focusing solely on, like, completely different planets all the time. And I was like, okay, that's not enough for me. I'll be bored straight away. And when it came out, I didn't really, I just heard a lot of people kind of disappointed and just got bored. Like, are all the changes in this update, like, are they really, really, really big? Or is there more that you think that needs to be done again? And do you think they'll do it? Like, as of right now, what was your biggest problem from the beginning? And have they fixed that? If not, what else do they have to fix?
My biggest problem was just that the sense of exploration and discovery kind of disappears after maybe 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Because once you start leaving your planet and going to other ones, after a while things start to look the same. And you're seeing the same sorts of weird animals and you know, like, I don't know, plants and what have you. Now, the planets I visited, you know, via various friends' games and my own, I don't know about you, Chris, but I feel like the planets feel like they're more possible. Like, the stuff that you're seeing feels more realistic, you know, like the trees that you're seeing, the grass, the oceans, the lakes. Whereas before, when I first started playing it at release, I must have flown to maybe 8 or 9 planets before I even found a planet that had a tree or anything resembling water. Now, you know, my planet is lush. It's orangey. It's very orangey, my planet, but it's lush. There's grass. There's, you know.
When you say your home planet, are you meaning
my,
like,
home planet?
That is where you're.
Okay, so pretty much my spawn planet. I was really lucky. I've spawned on a really nice planet with a temperate climate, with sentinels who are pretty lax. You know, it's an easygoing planet, and it's also really beautiful because it's got oceans and lakes, and it's a really pretty planet. But so that has improved tenfold, I'd say. I mean, it still is a bit janky, and I understand what you're saying. You know, like when you're firing your laser, it's a bit. When you get the terrain, manipulator, wait until you see that, because that is proper jank. However, it doesn't detract away really. And like, if you look at go onto Twitter and just look at the No Man's Sky hashtag and have a look at some of the pictures folk are taking. It can be a really, really beautiful game, but it needs you kind of need to frame it, if you know what I mean.
Of course.
But I think it's a really, really pretty game, but it's not necessarily that obvious when you first look at it, because sometimes, you know, the pop-in's a bit bad. But I mean, that's improved 100%, because before it just used to kind of fizzle into view, didn't it, Chris? Do you remember when you'd be flying over?
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was quite bad. But it has got a lot better. And like I say, the biggest improvement for me visually is, like, the planets feel like they're possible. You know, the generation of the animals they feel and look more realistic or more how... I mean, because they're all procedurally... Everything's procedurally generated and you were getting, like, fantastical creatures, but after a while they were just kind of like you'd recognise the same sorts of components within this, within creatures in different, on different planets. And whilst that is still going on, they just feel a lot more real, if that makes sense.
You know, when you talk about real, those that herd that you pointed out earlier as well, that herd of those, basically the, some of the creatures, which I'd never noticed before, they're like acting as a herd of whatever they are, just all walking together across the plains just by my base. And it just felt very, very natural. Like they're living. They're not just there. I've just been placed there on a computer and, you know, edited in. They're acting like they would do in real life. It, there's very natural feel to it. And every planet, they all used to feel, as you said, the same. There wasn't very much to distinguish them from one another. There's only slight changes in the kind of character design of the fauna and in terms of the like structures of the buildings that you found, they're all very similar, but there seems to be more, and there seems to be like each planet has a certain thing about it that is different from the other, and it just feels like there's much more gone into it. Like when the original came out, we had all plans to do stuff for this game. We tried to do a captain's log, like journal type thing, but the fact is I couldn't do it because after 6 hours everything was the same. It's like it just didn't excite you, and you really have to spend hours and hours on it to find something different. Whereas now there's so much has been added to, like there's new missions, there's new kind of building designs on the planets, and like Nick said, the some of the kind of the oceans are gorgeous and they're glistening under the bright kind of stars, and there's now rings around planets. There's just so much beauty in it that it's not been there before, and there's a definite difference. But from in terms of like the game itself, it feels now there's so much more been added, and there's so much more grind and need to be able to get to a point where you could even buy get a base built. Then I don't know who's going to stick with it. I mean, there will be, but I mean, as I say, that you should give the creative mode a go just to be able to get in a ship and fly away, and just to go to a space station and go onto a planet and look for a base and just have a go at building, just to see what the mechanics are like, and then you can always go back if you want and see what that's like. But there's a lot of content here. For you know, there's a lot to do, and I think they've kind of nailed it at last with what there is.
Just quickly before you go, Chris, I was just gonna Adam, I was just gonna say, I think the adding in you, so you can actually see yourself now, that's made a huge difference for me.
Yeah,
because some of the pictures I've captured, there's a real. Like, there's one particular one that I really like that I've taken that just for me, I get this feeling of isolation from this picture. And it kind of excites me a little bit because it just feels very, you know, I'm a pioneer, you know, I'm alone on this planet. I've crash landed. There's these rings around. It's a beautiful place, but I'm completely alone. And I don't know, it's just being able to see yourself has really made a huge difference for me in the way that I feel about what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. And you feel more connected to your game as well when you can see yourself.
I think that the element of the multiplayer aspect, right, for anybody that's probably stuck with that game for the 2 years... Or even if you're just back and forth with it over the 2 years up until this point, it must be pretty amazing to meet somebody like on a planet. Like if you've been on your own this whole time, you've gotten used to that. It must be a kind of a weird video game moment for any player. I think that was I think that aspect to me is the reason I actually went ahead to pick this up, because I was like, the whole, when that happened for me in the likes of Journey, which is like a completely different game, but just when you randomly come across somebody else and you're like, oh my God, it's amazing. Let's do this together. Yeah. Do you know? That to me is like super, super cool. It's such a powerful thing within a game. And I imagine when both of you guys were playing together that like, I'm guessing it's a lot of fun just because, and I'm sure it's probably almost therapeutic in a weird way, like just building and collecting stuff. Like, I don't know, that's a really cool aspect that I'm looking forward to getting into.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty chill experience, isn't it, Chris? There's not, like I said, there's not really any enemies. So other than you fighting the environment, you know, because there's a toxic storm coming down and you've got no cover, other than that, it is a pretty chill experience, really, just kind of wandering about. I mean, I didn't play with Chris for very long, but you were trying to find copper, weren't you? So I was like the copper bloodhound. I found like 3 or 4 deposits for you, didn't I? And then you were like mining it. Meanwhile, I was off like, you know, snapping pictures and you know, looking at stuff. And because you were saying, I haven't really found any animals. I was like, well, there's a herd right next to us, Chris.
Yeah. Bloody. And there was that little fat, like, thing, the little small...
Oh, yeah, that funny like bouncy brain thing that was near your base as well that you hadn't seen. And, like, so you need to go and have a look at that structure that I found with those red things, because that's not very far from your base. And like, it'd be cool to find out what they actually are. Also, this will appeal to you, Adam, because correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of like... You like Alien, don't you? You like the movie Alien...
Oh, I've heard about
my
this.
My God, well, I've stumbled across some of those, and it's proper cool.
Amazing.
Because there's 2 different types of eggs on the planets, and I've already found a pod of eggs, and I actually opened them up, and they had like a kind of pearl in them that I've, you know, that fetches quite a bit when you go to the trading posts. So I saw these other eggs, and it's horrific, and it's really cool, but it's kind of cool.
Well, I'd love them to, like, focus on those kind of little Easter eggs as well down the line. Like, throw all that kind of sci-fi stuff within this game, because those kind of things are a lot of fun to find as well. Especially if you're a fan of that kind of thing. Because if you even go back to, like, Far Cry 5, when you were playing that, they threw in, like, 2 references from, like, 8 and stuff. And that was hilarious to go off and find the red balloon. And there are things that I feel make this type of game worth playing as well. And it's very easy to just like, just throw that in there and go, that's in there somewhere in these planets and try and find us if you can. Like that, the alien thing is
cool. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier that I found a downed freighter. I don't think that's specifically unique. I think that maybe if you're following a story at some point, you will find a downed freighter, but there's still this element of like, because it's kind of uniquely placed in your own world. And so I think, you know, other people will go, oh, I found a downed freighter. And you might think, oh, well, everybody's finding downed freighters. That's a bit dull. But for some reason, it just feels like it's your own unique discovery. It seems to have done enough in that sense to make you feel like what you are finding is unique to you, even though others have already found a down freighter in their own story path, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
I just,
well, that's a very strong quality of the game, I think. Like, if they can really like throw in that kind of content to make other people say, look what I found, and if that makes that other person say, oh my God, I want that, and they're the conversations that can happen and make this game incredibly strong and last very long.
I mean I've played probably about 4 or 5 hours of a new save, and I want to go back and play it. Whereas before, I was just kind of a bit like, I'll play it because it doesn't really take much to play and I can kind of zone out. Now I want to play it because there's things to do. There's jobs. Do you know what I mean? There's jobs to do. Like, I mean, I don't know if it'll appeal to everybody. I mean, I love Minecraft. I adore Minecraft. But I can always find things to do in Minecraft. There's always stuff that I want to do. But I understand that for some people that, you know, there isn't enough for them to do because they don't create their own sort of stories, or they don't want to create their own list of jobs that they want to do. And that's, you know, that's absolutely fine. People like different things, don't they? This game kind of feels like that. It feels like I'm going to get the same kind of enjoyment out of it, a different kind of enjoyment, of course, but the same kind of enjoyment that I get from Minecraft, in that I can just pop in it, potter about, do some jobs, take some pictures, feel like I'm making brand new discoveries, and then come out of it again. And that's kind of what I wanted the game to be right from the beginning. And it feels like it's getting there now. I think that's my main my main takeaway, or my main point about this update. It finally feels like the game that was promised.
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement, because from just the three of us alone, it's brought back two previous players, and it's brought in one new player, and that's just us.
Yeah.
Like, imagine everybody else out there who's probably picking this up, because it is on sale. Like, I picked it up on PSN, I think, for like 18 quid or something. Like, do you know, it's a very smart move to do that, even putting the game on sale, because even at $40, it's still worth your time, even for $40.
I mean, it's full price on Xbox, because of course it's just been released on Xbox, as I had a look on there the other day. See? But of course it's a brand new game on that platform. I don't know how well it's doing on Xbox. I don't know whether the press from it 2 years ago may have put people off. I don't know. I mean, that's something we'd have to look into.
Well, the press from its original release is obviously, like, it's unfortunate, but this is a huge lesson in, like, the hype train, I think. Yeah. Like, you need to just completely ignore these things, because we all remember when it was coming out, it was so hyped, and then it just kind of fell on its arse. But now we're back here. So I think it's just taking everything with a pinch of salt, and if you want to, go for it, you know what I mean? But it is worth a try right now, especially if it's going for that price, because I'm definitely keen on playing more. Unfortunately, as I said, it started off bad at the beginning and the planet, but that's only a small thing. But I'm looking forward to the multiplayer aspect, definitely.
Yeah. No, there you go. So that's No Man's Sky. Well, Nick, you're going to take the floor here a bit, because I haven't played this yet, but you've been playing Vermintide 2 via Game Pass.
Yeah.
Now, Gary reviewed it. I've keep meaning to go on to it, but I haven't yet.
First of all, let me just talk about Game Pass. I wasn't that keen on Game Pass when it was first announced, because I looked at the games that were in it and I was like, well, I own most of those. There's no point. However, I have had a subscription now for maybe 3 months, something like that. And whilst, I mean, I've actually reviewed Sea of Thieves and State of Decay anyway, so that's kind of a moot point. But I would certainly have used Game Pass for both of those games. And then when they said that Vermintide 2 was coming into Game Pass, it was launching on Xbox straight away in Game Pass, I was like, holy shit, I'm going to download that as soon as it comes out, because it's not a game that I would buy, because I know nothing about Warhammer. I literally know nothing about it. So it's not something that...
I wish I did.
I just don't know what it is. I don't understand it. I mean, what is it? What is Warhammer? Is it like a game?
It's a tabletop game.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's basically a tabletop
game. So not my scene at all.
No.
However, you know, I've had friends play it, and obviously Gary had reviewed it, and said that, you know, it's got a really strong Left 4 Dead vibe to it. So I was like, oh, okay. So I've downloaded it, and I've been having a really good time with it. It feels a bit janky in places. But one thing I will say, I think it's got five different character classes that you can play with, each of which have three different career paths with their own sort of passive and active skills. And each character feels unique enough that you feel like you're playing differently when you play with them, but also they feel balanced enough that you don't feel like, oh, well, I should have gone as that character because I'm much stronger as that character. They all feel useful in their own ways, which I think is really quite an achievement to make it feel that balanced. And it's just a bit of fun. I've had a great time with a pal that have, you know, sort of said, let's download it. You know, it's worth giving it a punt, isn't it? It's in mm-hmm. Game Pass. We've already got the subscription. We may as well give it a go. I mean, it is a bit repetitive because you basically do the same missions over and over again, and gradually you'll gather equipment and what have you that makes you stronger so that then you can take on the same missions but at a harder difficulty level. So I'm reaching a point maybe where I've maybe played it too much and it's starting to feel a little bit too repetitive and a little bit too grindy, but I've had a great time playing with it. Like, some of the voice acting is excellent. Like, they've got a dwarf in it called Barrick Goranson or something. And he is hilarious. He's a Yorkshireman and he's honestly hilarious. So, like, they'll be doing these little voice lines. Like, there's one bit that just made me laugh. He's like, hey, up here, I'm like a mountain goat going over it. You know, he's just talking like that. And it's just proper amusing me. And there's another one, the elf, Carillion, I think her name is. She's got this Scottish accent and she's like really acerbic and is always going, oh, you've managed to hit somebody, have you? That kind of thing. So it's kind of cool. I kind of like it. It's really quite good. But like I say, I would never have played it if it wasn't in Game Pass. Mm. And now I am. And it's really good fun.
Good. Mm. Yeah, before we move on to the next game, I just want to quickly mention the Banner Saga 3. Now, I talked about it in preview a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into that much detail. But all I will say is, if you have played the original two, you will love it. If you love it, the trilogy is available now on Switch, PC, PlayStation, Xbox. So there's no reason for you not to. Best written stories of the last 5 years. It's some of the best turn-based gameplay in recent years. It feels like you are involved in a battle. I know that sounds a bit weird, but in terms of how much you put into these fights, and they're very strategic and every kind of hit is vital. It's such a including experience, you're very much involved in it, and the kind of the story beats follow that of Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead in terms of no one is safe. Like, you've grown up in the last 4 years with these characters, so you're at a point with the third one where people have already died, and you've got a few remaining people left that you don't want to go, and you feel very included in it, and you know, it's very sad in times, but it's also incredibly well written. The artwork is stunning. It's very much like the older Disney films, like the artwork in like Sleeping Beauty and stuff like that. It's very dark, but it's very, very good. So I just think people should give it a go.
It's a series that
it's a
series I've always wanted to try, but I've just never had the time to sit down with it. I am perhaps more likely on Switch, to be honest, because I do have the original Banner Saga on Xbox, and I've tried to play it a couple of times, but just not been in the mood for it. But
yeah.
I was thinking about maybe picking them up, if they were a decent price on Switch, picking them up on Switch and running through them, because it does feel like a game, when I did try and play it, it does feel like a kind of game that I'd like, you know, curled up on a sofa or something, or in bed, or on a long flight to Florida, you know, something like that.
Oh, it's perfect for that. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely perfect for Switch. Boom.
In terms
that you can play like 20 minutes of it and turn it back off. It is very easy just to pick up and play, because whilst there is a story linking the battles together, you can finish a battle, put it down. You know, it's very kind of, the battles can take from, like in the first couple of games, they could take from anything from, I don't know, 5 minutes to 15, whereas in the third, you've got this wave system where it can go on for a lot longer. Like, I was playing games in excess of 30 to 40 minutes sometimes.
Can you fail after that?
The whole kind of wave system is, you've got a timer for each wave. So say you start the first wave and you've killed all the enemies that wave has to offer before the time runs out. When that wave finishes, you can choose to flee or continue. So you can get out of it. However, if you continue and you get to the last wave, which is normally around 3 or 4, you get a nice item, nice piece of equipment for your party. So it all depends what you want to do. But you can if you do it within the time limit, you can leave. You're not you don't have to take part in the whole wave system, but it's right. Just something added for the third game, which is kind of cool. If you like the battles and you want to continue, because you can swap out your characters as well. You've got like a substitute bench essentially of all your healthy fighters, which you can swap in and out if some get injured. So there are a lot of different options for that. But in the first kind of two games, they're very much singular. With the added, like, every now and again, they'll throw in a couple of enemies to come out from the side of the map. But, yeah, the third one's a lot more kind of depth to the combat, which makes it all the better.
What was your favourite of the three?
First. Just the first one. Yeah. Because it was I'd never played anything like that before. And it completely took me by surprise. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. I mean, they're all excellent, but the first one was brilliant. Probably followed by the third and then the second. But the story, jeez, it's good, it's good. And also, my story probably won't be the same as yours because there's alternative endings to the whole thing. So it's and the choices really do matter. I know a lot of games say the choices you make will affect the story, and then they don't really. How is this really does? So
I'm assuming like you can lose party members that will obviously then have far-reaching consequences across the games, because like I might lose a party member that you don't. And that changes the story at that point then, surely.
I mean, the first game you start off with two characters that you can choose between. By the end of the game, there aren't two characters anymore. You do get to play as them both again, but it's not, because it all depends on who you chose in the beginning. Like, they don't, not both characters will survive. But then in like the other games, there are literally moments where you've got a favourite character. One of the Vols, which are like big Vikings, they've got horns as well. And the bits where this is where it tells a story is either when you've stopped in one of the cities or the towns, or when you're in your caravan and you're like marching to your next point, and little story things pop up, like little bits of text pop up, and it'll be like, there's a man at the side of the road that needs some help, will you invite him in to your camp? And you can say yes, and then he'll come in, and a couple of minutes later he's killed someone and stole something from him, and then in the kerfuffle, it'll knife one of your Vols in the neck and kill him. Like, that's how small the consequences can be for it to escalate quickly. And that was one of the things that took me by surprise, is how you really have to think about every single choice, not just the ones that might seem big, but the ones that seem completely, unobvious to what might happen. It's very clever. Mm. So, yeah, there's a lot of death. but there's a lot of good bits too, so it's just a great journey. So I suggest giving it a go. Yeah,
cool.
And then Candle, the Power of the Flame, which Nick, you're reviewing, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
And I heard a few frustrations on Slack.
I am frustrated with it, Chris. Mm. Yes, I am. It's very pretty, and there's something really lovely about it. Like, it reminds me of old children's TV programs.
Yeah.
So kind of Bagpuss narrator type.
All right.
Type character.
Yeah.
That I really like. And like I say, visually, I really, really like it.
Mm.
And it's the problem I've got with it is the puzzles are super obtuse. Some of that is because visually it's not that easy to see stuff. Like, I've missed an item because I couldn't see it on the on the screen because it just sort of blended in with the background. And it does become, like, if you walk near it, there is like a prompt to pick it up, but it kind of relies on you being able to see it's there to go to that point, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then there's other things where there's like locking mechanisms that you've got to unlock, and you have to puzzle them to do it. Now, some of them have been, you know, fairly obvious. Like there was one where I had to burn different mosses to open sections, and that was fairly self-explanatory. However, there was another one where I had to turn like these switches. There were only two switches and three things that needed to move. Now, one of the switches would move two of the things that you needed to move, and one would only move one. But depended on how you moved the one that only moved one, whether the other one moved two or one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it wasn't overly clear how you did that. And, like, there wasn't enough. Because normally when you have a puzzle like that, you know, the environment is telling you the solution to the puzzle. And it just isn't clear enough. The visuals are too fussy for that kind of granular detail that you need for you know, for this type of puzzling. Like, I mean, I played, Cube 2 recently for a review, which I really, really enjoyed. And the way that communicates to you how to solve each puzzle is really, really good. It's really well done. In this game, I feel like that's lost a little bit, because the visuals are too fussy for you to be able to fathom it. Like, there's one I'm stuck on at the moment, which is like, I've got to, it's like I'm actually playing a puzzle. So it's a kind of meta thing. So I've spoken to this shaman who has got a music box that he can't unlock. So you offer to help. So you go into this, you go in like to the music box mechanism, and you're trying to work out how to open it. Well, I've been stuck on that puzzle for like 20 minutes and it's doing my head in. Now, it may be because I'm impatient, but ordinarily I'm quite good at puzzle games. But this is just, I've worked out how to do it now, but it's taken lots of like just randomly pressing to figure out how it works. And that, for me, isn't how a puzzle game should work.
No, no.
It isn't about experimenting and pressing buttons and hoping that you're just going to bump into the solution. It should be evident, you know, from looking and, like, examining what's on the screen and playing around with the mechanisms that you've already been taught to work out the puzzle. But it's just not communicating properly for me. But there's lots to like about it. Like I say, visually it's gorgeous, and I really, really like this feeling. It feels really nostalgic to me. I don't know, it reminds me of something. I can't put my finger on what it is. Like I said, the narrator kind of feels like the narrator who did Bagpuss. It's not him, because obviously he's dead now, I think, isn't he? But it feels like the kind of TV shows that I watched as a kid. It's got something like that about it. And I don't know whether that's deliberate or not. I maybe need to look into a little bit about, you know, the development of it and, you know, what the developers were looking to do with it. Because it definitely has that kind of feel to me.
Yeah, but it's, Well, the review will be up soon, so we'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
News-wise, so Ni No Kuni 2 is getting some DLC. Adam, did you ever get around to playing this after the preview?
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I played and finished it.
Jesus.
I thought it was good. I thought it wasn't as good as the first one. But like it was received incredibly well. I've seen people online absolutely love it. Some people think it's better than the first one. It was decent, but there were some things that I wish they kept. But this new, the season pass and stuff, I don't honestly think I'm going to play the DLC. I don't really have much time to jump back into it, because we're getting into a very, very busy time of the year now. So,
But the Adventure Pack is a free DLC and that will launch on August the 9th, and it includes some new challenges for veteran players that reward you with new costumes and more. And then there's two DLC packs available later on. Well, one's available in the winter, one's available early 2019. Season Pass DLC 1 will feature a brand new enigmatic dungeon for players to explore, and Evan and friends will plumb the depths of this cryptic dungeon, facing increasingly stronger enemies while trying to reach its deepest levels. Season Pass 2 DLC, expected to release early 2019, an additional story expansion of Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom, and it'll be available full of exciting content. Thank you, Mick, for that news post, because I have no clue what it's about. There's two Switch games, two ports of some other console games coming to Switch. One of them is Iconoclasts, and that releases on August the 2nd for Nintendo Switch, with some new features. Have any of you played that? Because I know
Gary
loved it. He said it's his favorite game of the year last week. So yeah, I kind of really want to see it. And then Salt and Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Which is heading to Nintendo Switch next week, and then the physical edition will be out later this year. Both.
I don't know much about that game at all.
I think are you a Souls guy? Like, are you into those kind of games?
Yeah.
You should definitely play it then, mate. It's like a side scroller.
Okay.
It's proper good, Adam. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah, it's a side scroller in a kind of stylized Dark Souls world. They use similar kind of names for things, and it's very kind of that gothic, dark fantasy type of thing. You should watch the trailer just to kind of see what it's like, but yeah, it's fucking ace.
Yeah.
It's by Scar Studios. Have you played any of their other stuff in the past?
No. But this is, the fact that this is coming out and Iconoclasts, that's just incredible. That's immediately what I mean by I'm not going to have time to go through Ni No Kuni DLC, because there's already two games that we just mentioned here that I need to play.
Yeah.
But Jesus, Souls was not what I was expecting to say there.
I played Charlie Murder back on the 360 by the same developer. I never played the dishwasher. What was it called? The dishwasher thingy or something?
Yeah, I can't remember.
But that was very well received. But it's really good. I've only done the first two bosses, I think, on it on PS4, because it's one of those games, again, that I just haven't had time to sit down and play. But it's really good. I'd definitely pick it up on Switch, actually.
It's definitely. Yeah, it'd be good for you to do that as well, Adam. I think you'd really like it. You just need to finish Octopath Traveler. So if you've got another 100 hours free, then you can finish it. Get on that.
It's kind of even with Octopath, it's I kind of don't want it to end, because I'm just loving it so much. So I'm just really taking my time with it. And it's one of those games that even if you don't play it for a week or two, you're still fine. Do you know what I mean? I remember when I was playing Persona 5 when it first came out, I remember I just hit a wall and I didn't go back to it for a month, and when I went back I didn't have a clue what I was doing, which is kind of unfortunate when you have those kind of size games. But Octopath is good that way, so even if I'm still playing it come the release of these games, I think it'll be alright to go ahead.
And some news for Nicola: Sea of Thieves, The Cursed Cells, is coming on the 31st of July, and it's the second big free update that brings skeleton ships in a time limited campaign, and including loads more new content. So do you think, when was the last time you kind of played it?
Do you know, I haven't played it in a while. I think probably a month or two. I just had other stuff that I've been playing. And then I went away, and then when I came back, nobody seemed to be playing. Because I was playing it with Mick a lot.
Yeah.
But he's kind of been playing other stuff as well. Yeah. So, I don't know. I have dipped into it. I did a couple of the Skulls missions, Order of Souls missions with a pal probably about a month ago. But, I really like Sea of Thieves, so I'll be checking it out. But not until I come back off holiday, I would have thought. So, won't be sort of till late August, I would have thought. But this is the update that's introducing the new ship as well, isn't it? The three The three-person ship, isn't it? The Brigantine or Brigantine, yes, or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be cool. Nintendo Labo, bless them. They're releasing a vehicle kit, Toy-Con 3. And that arrives on September the 14th with a car, submarine, plane, and more. So there you go. What else does it include? Oh, some other shit. Like,
some other shit. There you go, is right.
No, I don't want to be harsh on it. I've literally, since the review, I haven't touched it. Like, I've got a controller and I've got a console, so I'll just do that. But yeah, even my kids don't give a shit anymore. They're back playing Minecraft and whatnot. But there must be people out there playing this. So yeah, for those three, I wish you, you know...
Get excited for a car and a submarine.
And a plane, mate. Yes. Don't forget the plane. There you go.
Oh, Jesus. Kick off.
The last bit of news I wanted to put on, because it's technically to do with video games. It's the Castlevania second season on Netflix has been announced officially. And there's a full trailer on God is a Geek. And it's coming October 26th on Netflix. So if you've never watched it, you can go and watch the first series. It's literally an hour and a half.
Is it good?
It's fucking... I mean, I think it's really good. And it's 20 minutes an episode.
Yeah, I think it's
four
amazing.
Episodes first series. So you can four blast episodes. It in, oh, okay, an hour and a half, really. And then I don't know if they've announced how long this will be, but this trailer looks like it's turned it up to 11. It looks incredible. Yeah. And they're really going all out. Like, the first four episodes were kind of felt like a prequel to this. They were just testing to see how,
yeah, I'd
how
say they were just,
well, when it was received.
Yeah, they were testing.
And I think it was received very well, yeah.
Definitely. I think that's why they only gave us the four, yeah, episodes as well, was just to see if we would be all really impressed with it, because it is definitely a show that, considering the content that Netflix put out there, a lot of their stuff is meant to be for everyone and word of mouth. Like, if somebody says something, have you seen this? They'll probably 90% of Netflix things you get told to watch, you probably, yeah, will watch it. But Castlevania is a, yeah, tricky one, because if you're to say it to somebody who doesn't play video games or doesn't have a clue about like what Castlevania is, it's kind of a hard sell to go, okay, so it's a video game series that's an anime, and it's like you're instantly hitting territory, yeah, that's not for everyone. But this, like, I thought season one was excellent. I thought it was, it's super dramatic. It's super like it's just gothic and moody, and I just think it's excellent. And it's super violent as well. But I really hope season two is just longer.
Yeah,
just needs,
yeah,
to be longer.
I'd like at least 8 episodes. That'd be a good,
yeah,
size.
8,
yeah,
episodes.
But yeah,
perfect.
Nick, you should give it a go.
Yeah.
I think you'd like it, to be honest, because it's
I probably will. I mean, yeah, there's so much to watch on Netflix, isn't there? I always go on it.
I know.
And, like, flick through and then end up watching something I've watched before.
I think, honestly, saying that, I think Netflix has now become a thing where you put it on, right? And I did this exact thing last night. I put on Netflix. I was like, right, Friday night, I'll watch a movie. I see what's recently added. And all I do is I go, oh, brilliant, Star Wars The Last Jedi has been added. Oh, brilliant, this has been added. Oh, excellent, that's been added. Right, fuck it, turn it off, No Man's Sky. That's exactly
see,
what
I do
did.
That as like, well. Yeah. I do that, but I do that with games as well. So now I've got Netflix, which has given me more choice than I can possibly handle, and games that are more choice than I can possibly handle. And what I do is I end up staring at both of them for about an hour each, and then just switching them off and not doing anything.
Yeah, I know. Jesus, it's... There's just too many things. Too many things.
So, next listener correspondence. And it's quite amusing how much... there's a few knocks at Gary, a few humorous japes towards him. First one, McPoo. What brand of vanilla ice cream does Gary eat? Now, unfortunately, as you can... If you've not noticed by now, it's not here. So we'll leave that one for him next week. But it... but...
It'd be so good if he was here.
Just kept quiet for an hour.
And he just stayed quiet.
And he comes
the
up
whole
going, can't do raspberry
ripple. Yeah. on. So Chris Hyde on Twitter asked, what place that sells alcohol or tap water for Gary in games would you love to have a drink in real life? Anyone?
Oh, Jesus. I Where? Got mine straight away. The Witcher 3.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be brilliant. Just going in, going, excellent. This is going to be a brilliant Friday night.
To be fair, there was a really nice pub in Witcher 2 as well. I remember there being, I can't remember where it was, but there was a really nice pub in that. So Witcher seems to nail pub life.
You're local, yeah, Chris. It is.
I can't think of any other bars.
I'd go to the Citadel, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Omega or something.
Citadel, yeah. Good shows.
An outdanced shepherd.
I'd have a...
I don't know, really. I've often wanted to do a pub review in different games, but I've seen somebody else has done it recently, and I was like, damn it, I've sat on that for way too long.
There's that, hick bar in GTA where Trevor goes into. I think that looks quite interesting. So I might wander in there.
Yeah, but it'd be a bit intimidating. Like, I don't think you'd be wanting to drink alcohol and getting woozy. Like, I think you'd have to be on your toes inside a place
probably.
Like that.
I'd batter him, so we'd be fine. Darren, good old Darren at Rotten. What's your favourite gaming food or snack for those long sessions?
So I'm going to say right now that I actually don't like eating food
same.
While gaming.
We said that earlier.
Same. Yeah. I don't
like doing it because it just messes my
controller.
That's
exactly why I don't.
And
I hate it.
I don't like having greasy hands on my controllers. And sorry, it's a bit of a bore because I know it's like gaming snacks and stuff. However, I do actually really like a can of Pepsi from the freezer. Now, when I say that, I don't mean I left the can of Pepsi in for 6 hours and now it's just a block of ice. I like just a super, super, super cold can of Pepsi. And that to me is kind of just my thing at the weekend. Like, I can't be having that every night because I'd be fucking dead. But like, it's just that. But food-wise, it's a no-go. I'll eat beforehand and then I'll wash my hands like a good boy and then I'll just play my games.
I don't eat while I'm playing either, partly because obviously it gets all over your controller, but also I'd overeat. If I had like a bag of crisps or something, you know, like a big share, share bag of crisps, because you're just like, you're just mindlessly eating and I'd be like the size of a house and I don't need that additional work to get rid of. So I just drink tea. I just have copious amounts of tea while I'm playing.
Tea is my Monday to Thursday drink.
And then the weekend you switch to frozen Pepsi.
Weekend I got Pepsi.
Fair enough.
But the thing about it is though, right? I did once or twice have like pizza when I was like playing video games before. And yeah, definitely the hand thing was a situation. I was like, all right, that's annoying. I'll clean my hands every time I just pick up a slice of pizza. But what actually really bugged me all the time was the fact I had to pause the game to then get the pizza, eat it, put it back down. I don't know that. I just hate being, when I'm in a game, I hate being like pulled out of it in random areas. Do you know what? It's the exact same if you're like reading something and someone starts calling you from the room.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very irritating. You're like,
that's
why
I have my
wife
feed me grapes when I play computer games. It's the best way. Final question. This is great, from at Sir Delboy on Twitter. In light of the latest, and in brackets, seemingly weekly controversy on the podcast surrounding Gary and his opinions, what controversial gaming opinions do the other members of the team have? So, yeah, there you go.
Holy shit.
Don't know.
Oof.
What's this? So what controversial
opinions? Have you got any controversial gaming opinions?
No.
Like Mario shit? Or,
I'm sure I have.
Or,
but now that you're asking, I can't remember. I have though, haven't I? Because there's... Oh, yes, Uncharted.
Oh.
Hey, what? What are you going to say here, Nicola? What
so
are you going to say?
Rated.
My poor.
that is quite
the
controversial.
The game bits.
Every one of
Uncharted
them. Is it every one of them?
Are just a chore. They're a chore. The shooting's awful.
Gary.
The getting into cover's awful. There was a bit in Uncharted 4 where it just proper pissed me off. and it's quite late game, and you have to fight a wave of enemies, like with some of them being armored.
Is it on the kind
and
of
then
like
there's like a fucking
island
truck that comes and nearly runs you over, so you have to run away facing towards the screen with the thing chasing you, and then like you jump onto a building and then that collapses, and it's just like, for fuck's sake, will you just stop? This is just a chore. I think visually it's an incredible game. I love the story, I love the voice acting in it, I love those bits of it, but sometimes, my God, it forgets that it's a game, in my controversial opinion.
Oh, Jesus. You've made yourself the female Gary, Nicola. You've started
it. I'm not as
it.
Bad as Gary. Come
you
on.
Have started it.
Gary's like, it's just constant in Slack, isn't it? Like, Gary, for God's sakes, man.
If I'm going to pick one, there's a few that come to mind, but the one that always hits me is As Zelda is my favourite franchise ever, I do feel that Ocarina of Time, we have to move on from it. And I do feel like it doesn't even hit my top five Zelda games. Which is... It's incredibly controversial to say that because of how many people actually hold that game up. And I just think, like, going back to, I think it was last week's podcast, we discussed Super Mario 64 and what we would rate that game now. And I think that was one of the most interesting questions, because when you're putting out these lists, like if you rank your favorite games or whatever, like do you guys even feel like you have to kind of say that? Like, if you're like ranking these games, would you personally go, well, you have to kind of put that number one because it's that game, even though the last whatever one of the series was,
I'm
it is the best.
Controversially now, Adam, I've never played a Zelda game.
Holy fucking smokes. Like, that just took me, like, way by surprise. Holy shit. Honestly, I just, like, my hand went to my heart there. Like, if this was
Sorry
actually
about
a
that.
Video, I just went...
Sorry.
Like... Whoa, where to even begin with that one?
Never played one.
Like, you need to play Breath of the Wild. You just need
to play
it. I
want to. I'm debating on picking it up because I fly to Florida soon for my holidays.
There's no debating.
I'm thinking I've got 8 hours and I could like quite easily get stuck into Zelda on my Switch for 8 hours. Like, drain the battery. Would the battery last that long?
I really think you have to.
Would the battery last that long? I've got a question. Yeah,
probably
that's my
not.
Worry.
But I'm sure you'd have like, oh no. No, hang on. Is the Switch
USB? USB C, I think.
Oh yeah. They'll have like USB plug things on the plane.
Well, I hope so.
They normally do for flights of that length anyway, because I remember when I was coming over to Canada, they had that. So I was like, brilliant, plugged in. But you have to play that, especially when you're in a kind of element right now of discovering and figuring out with No Man's Sky and all that kind of jazz. And I feel this kind of, out of all the Zelda games, this would be the one I would personally recommend to you. And I think, like, I just think it's more up your street in terms of being creative and being, like even the photos and stuff, I think, like, you'll enjoy taking the photos in it. There's a lot of, like, humor to be had within the photos. Like, you can do a lot of, you've probably seen a majority of them where like Link is blowing up some like enemy behind him and he's doing this like pose like with his like index finger pointed up and stuff, and it's all
one
really 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 fun.
Yeah, one
Jesus.
Thing I have liked about, like, I've seen videos of people like just experimenting with the tools that the game gives you to solve dungeons. I'm assuming they're dungeons. Because, of course, I've never played a Zelda, so I've no idea. But, like, different ways people have, like, got into dungeons or got past puzzles, that's been quite interesting to me, because there's been some really, like, creative ways that they've got through. Like, there was one where they were using... Actually, I won't talk about it because I've got absolutely no idea, you know, how the game works and the mechanics. So I'd probably just be going, well, they did that. Well, and you'll be like, yeah, that's pretty normal, Nick, to be fair.
You should just go for it, though, especially if you haven't played a Zelda game. Jesus Christ, I still can't believe you haven't
played
a Zelda game.
I'm not really a Nintendo kind of person. I've never had a Nintendo system. The Switch.
Nicola, listen. This is... You've just done a hat trick. Like, whew, not a Nintendo person. I've never had one.
I've never had a Nintendo system.
Well, you've started off at a really good spot.
Yeah, I got
with
the Switch because it's mobile, isn't it? I never play the Switch on big screen. So I always play it in handheld. I love playing it in handheld.
Hmm.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? Do you have any controversial opinions? There is something that has... Like, I know when this podcast ends, and I'm probably going to have to bring this question back again because I do love these questions a lot. This kind of one is very funny because it's just like, Jesus, if Gary was here right now, can you imagine what he'd say?
He just can't help himself.
Holy God. Yeah, I bet you he'd be trending on Twitter from whatever he says.
I can't think of anything. Like, I have opinions, but I wouldn't say they're bad. I'd say they're justified. Like, I think Sonic 2 beats any Mario game, but I don't think that's really controversial. That's just fact.
No, it is. There's... Hey. I was about to kind of meet you in the middle there until you said fact, right?
I don't mean fact.
But yeah, there is that audience. But like, you know, there's something. Like, is there any particular game that you just know that everyone loves and you're just like, it is just pure shit?
I don't know. Name some. I'm really struggling. I'm like trying to think for the last 5 minutes. Yes.
I was going to say, you tend to like tend to like lots of things, don't you?
I can see good in everything.
No.
I might come back to it when we're talking. Yeah,
we'll get back to that question.
I'll ponder until then, and then I'll come back. But now we're going into the Patreon section. So if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/godisgeek. And you're missing out on the opportunity to listen about when I accidentally punched a elderly postage worker in the mouth. So thank you very much. Which I suppose that'll draw us to a close for this week. So if you want to read up on the kind of games we've been talking about, read the reviews on the site, just go over to godisgeek.com. You can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at FirstAvenger83, Nicola is at wavy_gravy, and Adam is at AdamZokes. If you've got any questions for us, feel free to go and ask them there. Guys, thanks for being on.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we will see you all next week. Take care and bye-bye.